Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would, the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 6, as we look at Christian warfare tonight. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. We're admonished to be equipped, prepared and ready to fight the battles that we face in the Christian life. Of course, we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons, but they are mighty unto God to pull down strongholds. And these weapons, the Scripture speaks of, are spiritual weapons that we are to be equipped with and prepared for the battles that we face. We fail many times as Christians when we underestimate our enemy and we overtrust the flesh. We're to be walking in the Spirit that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's not only in doing that which would be wrong or sinful or not pleasing to the Lord, but that what we do brings honor to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll pick it up in verse 10, where the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power of the Word of God, the transforming, life-changing power that this book has. We thank You how it's brought salvation to us, a changed life, a changed heart, directs our path, instructs us, reproves us, corrects us. Father, may it work tonight mightily in our hearts and lives, as we're equipped for the battle that faces us. And Father, we'll be careful to give You the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said earlier, we underestimate the power of the enemy. The Lord let Peter in on a little secret when He said, "Now, Peter, Satan hath desired you, and he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you." And I wonder how many times that statement could be repeated in our life throughout a lifetime of Christianity, of how the enemy has set his focus, his attempts upon our life, to try to wound us, to cripple us, to defeat us, to hinder us, to discourage us, to lead us astray from the path that God wants us to walk. The Bible tells us we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And how true that is. How often we just get out of sorts, or we get off track, or we lose our thrill and our excitement about the Lord. You know, the devil's goals for our life would be to cause us to more or less just turn our back upon the Lord and wash our hands of it all and say, what's the use? And to get offended at God, be bitter at God, to accuse God foolishly. That would certainly be the devil's goal. You hear that said sometimes. People will say something like, well, you know, I thought God would do this and God didn't do it. And so by and by, people get offended. You know, the truth is the devil don't matter to him how he gets you out as long as he gets you out. As long as he can neutralize us and cause us just to be ineffective for the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible talks about us being salt. He said, but if we've lost our savor, you know, that is our saltiness. If we've lost our savor, we're thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. And how many times that happens in Christians' lives. Not that they lost their salvation. Thank God. I mean, you know, by the way, if we could lose our salvation, we would. There's no doubt about it. We would. But thank God we are kept by His power. But we're talking about our effectiveness. We're talking about our being, you know, being sharp, being a frontline Christian, being one that is honoring the Lord with their life. Is God pleased with your life tonight? Would you consider yourself to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus? Are you one of those that are working that front line of Christianity, faithfully sharing the gospel, communing with the Lord, walking with Him day by day, being renewed in your mind and being transformed into what the Lord would desire for you to be? Well, I dare say, if we were honest tonight, we'd say, man, I'm not everything I should be. There's so much more I could be, so much more I long to be. But notice how many times the Scripture talks about standing in these verses. Standing. As opposed to falling and failing and quitting and just backing up on the Lord. So here the Lord is admonishing us to take a stand for the Lord and to be bold for the Lord Jesus. You know, I told the story the other night here at church about a person who was saved, that came out of an ungodly lifestyle and was saved by the grace of God. And so in this particular company where she worked, he came back just a different person than she had been. She'd been wonderfully, gloriously saved, and people began to notice that, and the Christians that worked around there began to notice something was different, and began to talk to her, and she began to tell that she was saved. And the Lord had wonderfully saved her, and she told the story of how God brought her to salvation. And then they began to point out people in that company, said, well, this person's a Christian, and this person's a Christian here, and this person, and it sort of irritated her. And her statement to some of those people is, why didn't you tell me that you were a Christian? I've worked alongside of you for these many years, and you've never told me that you were a Christian. Wow. Well, now you think about that. That was really quite an indictment. And let's bring it on home tonight. Do people even know that we're Christians? Do they know that we're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we truly claim that name honestly? That is Christian, to be Christ-like. Amen? Not just religious. There's a lot of religion around. And certainly in the world, there's a lot of people that look a whole lot more religious than we do. But we're talking about being Christ-like. And here the Bible describes for you and I that there's a battle in the Christian life. Have you found the battle? Have you heard the noise? Have you experienced the clashing of the sabers, the explosion of the bombs? Have you experienced the Christian battle? Well, you may need to move a little closer to the front line if your answer is no. If you haven't confronted the confrontation that is going to take place as you strive to walk with the Lord and to live a life different from the world, I'm studying, and hopefully we'll get there finally, on when the children of Israel told Samuel, said, "We want a king. Make us a king." And, of course, Samuel was just so irritated about that. And God whispered in Samuel's ear and said, "Samuel, don't take it personal. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me." And the statement is made a couple of times in those passages as I'm studying it and trying to prepare something there. They said this, said, "We want to be just like the other nations around us." And that's really the crutch of the statement there, of the condition of the nation of Israel at that time. "We just want to be like all the other nations around us. Get us a king. Give us a king that he may go out before us." You know, that seems to be the cry of quotations here, so-called Christians today. "We just want to be like everybody else around us." But brothers and sisters, we cannot just be like everybody else around us. We've been blood bought. We've been purchased. We're not our own. We belong to Him. Amen. The Bible's called us out from a vile, wicked world and asked us to be different from the world, and not a difference of an odd or weird or some kind of craziness, but different in the sense of being more like the Lord Jesus. And really, that's the goal. To be Christ-like. Amen? To be more like the Lord. And the great part of that is being equipped and prepared for the battle that's out there. If you haven't faced the battle lately, I challenge you to step a little closer to the front line. And the front line really is given in verse 19. If we could, we didn't read it a while ago, but let's read it now, verse 19. And Paul says, and he's talking about prayer in verse 18, and he says, "And for me," he's talking about praying for him, "and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Really, the crutch and the thrust of being equipped with the armor of God is not that we march around and say, "Boy, look at my bright and shiny armor. Look how polished it is, and look how pretty it is." Walking around gloating about our armor. No, the purpose of it all is that we have boldness to witness for Christ. Think with me just for a moment. When's the last time you boldly witnessed for Christ? You opened your mouth boldly and you made known the mystery of His will, the gospel. Do you remember? I shared with you, been a while back, years ago, a deacon approached me after the service. He had came to the altar and was praying, and a good man, a humble man. And later he cornered me, very broken, and I wasn't sure what it was all about, but he shared with me what God had so burdened his heart about. And he told me with tears, I'd only been his pastor for a few years, and He told me through tears, he said, "Preacher, I've never had the privilege of leading anybody to the Lord. And I'm really burdened about that. That God would give me the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone and leading them to Christ." Y'all think every Christian ought to have a burden like that? Amen? And so we had prayer, and by and by, time rolled by, he was able to report that he led his grandson to the Lord. He was so thrilled and so happy. Can you testify tonight to verse 19? I'm not talking about, you know, having a biblical argument with somebody over Scripture or trying to convince somebody of, you know, various things in the Bible, doctrinal truths. I'm talking about opening your mouth and sharing the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A good quality of a soldier is that of having courage and boldness. When I think about a soldier, I think about some Civil War letters. I have a little book that has actual letters that were written in the Civil War time by soldiers and others. And one particular one struck me and comes to my mind once in a while when I think about a soldier. A fiancé wrote a Civil War soldier, and she told him how things were going back at home and asked him how he was doing, just the general conversation and appreciation and all those things that a fiancé would write to her loved one that is off to war. And then she concluded it by saying this line. She said, "Please do not get shot in the back." I like that. I think that's good advice. Amen? And I think that's good advice for you and I in the Christian battle. Onward, Christian soldiers going forth, marching forth to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. You know, I remember some time back that certain denomination began to take those wordings and those songs out of their hymn book. They didn't like the thought of war and battles and bloodshed. Well, sadly, that has sort of become the norm of a lot of Christians. We like to think of Christianity as just God sort of fitting into our schedule and God fitting into our desires, and we just sort of have this little agreement with Him, and we've bought our little hellfire insurance policy, and God, if we need you, we'll check in with you from time to time. And a lot of people treat the Lord just like He's their servant at His beck and at their beck and call. And it's really sad, isn't it? That's no way to treat a sovereign God. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which is His. We're to be consumed with the desire to serve Him, to please Him, to honor Him. The Bible admonishes us in verse 10 to be strong. Be strong, not in our strength, not in our ability. In fact, the Apostle Paul learned that was futile. He had learned the hard way that when he was weak physically, when he was weak mentally, that's when he was truly the strongest spiritually. And so it is with the child of God. We must learn that lesson, that it's not our strength that we need, it's the Lord's strength. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. For that to happen for any of us, there has to be an emptying. There has to be a purging for God's strength to be in us. There has to be a humbling for God's might to work through us. The young preacher was called to bring his sermon, and he bounced up on the stage and gave his lesson message and just totally, completely failed at it. It was a miserable failure. And he knew that he had botched it terribly, and he hung his head, and he very humbly walked off the stage and put his face into his hands. And the old preacher sat beside him and spoke to him and said these words, "Son, had you gone up like you came down, you could have came down like you went up." A great truth in that. A great truth in that. God still resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Oh, how we need Him. Desperately we need Him. The church of Laodicea had need of nothing, they said. We have need of nothing. Didn't seek the face of God for anything because they felt sufficient. They felt they had it under control. And so the Lord had just quietly stepped out. "You don't need me? Then I'll exit myself." Oh, how we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Strong in the Lord. And then to embrace the qualities that we need to face the battle. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. He is quite wily, by the way. He never comes in hat and horns. He comes polished with glitter and glamour. Promises great pleasures, but only pays off in poverty and loss. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Sadly, it seems the devil has already defeated so many. So many that have no burden for the work of the Lord any longer. So many that have no allegiance to the house of God. So many that have no desire to go into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. So many that have washed their hands of the work and the toil that it takes to build a church. It seems the wiles of the devil has already so captivated so many. But we're so busy, by the way. We're so busy. We don't have time, do we? Don't have time for God anymore. It's a spiritual struggle, verse 12 talks about. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle's a higher battle than that. Oh, at times it seems that the flesh and blood has been so moved of the devil. But really, it's a spiritual battle. It's higher than that. The Bible says, look up. It's a higher battle. Darkness, rulers of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we must be equipped spiritually. That's why we must be armed with the power of God, the armor of God, that we can stand the storms and stand the test, stand the temptation, stand at times the silence of God, the testing sometimes that we go through, the trials that we face. The Bible puts the importance in very vital places. You notice in verse 14, "Stand there having your loins girt about with truth." Your loins girt about with truth. The strength of the soldier comes from his loins. How we need to be girded with the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the principles and the precepts of God. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not, for it is a precious commodity. Jesus said He is the truth. Oh, how we need to be girded with truth. And then personal purity in having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the Bible warns about guarding our heart. Guarding our heart. That breastplate is trying to guard our heart. And oh, how the world and the flesh and the devil wants to dirty our heart and to corrupt our heart with the things of this world. The Bible says, put on a breastplate of righteousness. There should be a longing and desire to be holy before God. And then that our feet is prepared with the gospel. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings and preach the good news. You want to have pretty feet? Share the gospel. Carry the gospel. Amen. Notice its feet. Moody used to say our Bibles need to be covered in shoe leather. A shoe leather Christianity of carrying the gospel to our neighbors and to our friends, our community, sharing the wonderful gospel. And then above all, that shield of faith. And I think in this day, so important to mention how that fear has robbed so many people. So many people in our day and time live with fear. Horrendous fear. Crippling fear. And I want to say, is there not a God in heaven to help and to protect? Why would we live in such fear? And you say, oh my goodness, you might die. Well, is that so bad? Is that so bad? Fear cripples the Christian. Fear paralyzes the preacher. Fear keeps us from walking forward by faith and honoring the Lord with our life. Fear keeps us from taking upon the challenges that might seem to be an impossible task, where faith is supposed to step forth and carry the day. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those fiery darts, you know what they are? They're darts of doubt. They're darts of fear. They're fiery darts of the wicked to defeat and discourage and to hinder the child of God in His way. Sometimes it might be the little voice of someone near to you. You cannot do that. That cannot be accomplished. You're not able to do that. Fiery darts. You know, the Bible talks about the power of the tongue. Life and death in the power of this tongue. And many a grand and noble ideas have been sorely defeated by a discouraging word, by a fiery dart, where the Bible says, let faith stand forth. Let faith believe in the power of God, the ability of God's leadership, and the ability of God's provisions. I love the saying, where God guides, He provides. Where He directs, He protects. How we need to walk by faith and not by sight. One of the great attributes of the church of the Thessalonians was that they lived out a work of faith as they endeavored to carry the gospel to their community. Faith says, I believe God. The 12 spies came back with their report. And 10 said, well, it's just like the God said it was. But there are giants over there and there's no way we could do it. No, Caleb and Joshua, the only two that had any amount of faith, they said, we're well able to do it right now. Let's go right now. But the doubters won, didn't they? The scoffers won. And they quashed. They put out. And they delayed the movement, the purpose of God. Well, how we need to have faith. And listen, church is the same way. Church is the same way. Oh, how we need to have faith in God. And then verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. When I think of a helmet, I think of something hard and firm and strong. It protects from doubts. It protects from false doctrine. The helmet of salvation. That you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved. And you've put behind you those words of doubt and fear about knowing Christ as your Savior. You have a helmet of salvation, strong and sure and confident. That's Bible talk, by the way. Paul didn't say, I sure hope God hangs on to me. He said, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. And John even wrote when he said, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, think so. I grew up around a bunch that had that kind of faith. Go to visit their services sometimes. And about all their testimony, they must have recorded their testimonies and kind of repeated them, because about all of them would stand up and say, pray for me that I can hold on. Pray for me that I can hold out. And what they were saying, they were afraid they're going to lose their salvation. They were afraid one little slip up and boy, they'd be lost. What a miserable existence. I mean, there's no joy in that, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you. And by the way, it's a helmet of salvation. Amen? And then our weapon, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? Years ago, an evangelist spoke on this text, and I still remember something he said. He said, if you feel like your sword's a little short, he said, take a step forward. Amen? If it seems to be a little short, step forward. And usually that's what we need to do. Amen? Is step forward. Step forward. And something else he said that just came back to my mind. He said, if they don't think it's the sword, the Word of God's the sword of the Spirit, he said, just stick them with it. Amen? Just stick it with them. That was Brother Gary Holder. You remember him, hon, years ago. Gary Holder. I can't believe I couldn't even remember back that far. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then my, how we need to pray. Amen? Verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. We ought to live in a spirit of prayer. Amen? A prayer upon our heart, a prayer upon our lips, with supplication, the Spirit watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying for our needs, praying for the needs of others, petitioning the throne of heaven with our prayers. Oh, how we need to pray. Paul, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not faint. To faint is to quit, to give up. Pray. Much to pray about. Amen. Oh, listen, being equipped for the battle. There is a battle, by the way. You take a step forward for the Lord and you'll begin to see that battle more real. You'll begin to experience the things of this world that try to defeat us. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful you've given us your Word. Lord, we thank you haven't left us to defend for ourselves. God, you've given us the Spirit of God that dwells within inside us. You've given us the Word of God. That's a mighty weapon. And Father, I pray you'd help each of us to be suited and armed for the battle. Help us, Lord, to have boldness that we might make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, bless, we pray. Convict us where we're wrong. Lead us into your perfect will. In Jesus' name.